first.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Eden. Welcome to episode 9 of Artists Arguing. I'm so happy to be back doing the show. I know you guys have been complaining about the hiatus. I'm so sorry, but as you can see, it's because I've been really busy working on new releases for you. So I'm psyched to have Drips Gold out. I'm psyched that all your punanis are just overflowing with goldness. I'm seeing all your tweets and all your Instagrams and all your Facebook posts, etc. And I'm really appreciative of your support. I also want to let you guys know that Drips Gold is now on Musical.ly. So you better get those Musical.lys going because that's my new favorite app. And if you don't follow me on Musical.ly yet, I'm just at EdenXO Music. Same as Snappy. I wish all my shit was uniform, but it's not. I'm sorry. I'm not there yet. Well, today we have a really exciting show coming up for you guys. I'm excited because I know this person very well. She's one of my BFFs. And so it was perfect because I'm really fucking tired from Coachella and I didn't feel like making an effort and impressing a stranger. So it's great to have a really great friend on today. And that friend is Bonnie McKee. I'm going to bring her in the studio in a minute here. I'm pretty sure you guys all already know who Bonnie McKee is. If you don't, she's a little fox. She's a little hit songwriting artist fox babe who is super sexual and beautiful in her videos. And I have a lesbian crush on her. And she has the softest skin. It's like butter. Bruce is laughing at me, but it is. I feel like she does like sugar scrubbing or some like secret thing that I don't know about. But she's so amazing. She's like honestly one of my biggest inspirations. And she's an artist and she's a hit songwriter. She's written pretty much all my favorite Katy Perry songs. She co-wrote Teenage Dream, Last Friday Night, Part of Me, Wide Awake, Roar. She wrote for Britney Spears and, I mean, there's so many people. Kylie Minogue. We'll get into all of that. But, she's really rad and she's running late. I'm worried about her. She's not the best driver, if I'm being honest. Actually, that's not true. She's a good driver. Here she is, Bonnie!
Hey, guys.
Hey. I was just saying how you're not the best driver. I don't know if you heard me.
I'm an excellent driver. I don't know what you're talking about. My car may be full of shit.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. It's that I feel nervous in your car because you have, like, 7 wardrobes in there.
Yeah, I literally do. Like, my backseat is completely full to the ceiling of clothing and, like, Britney Spears dolls and 80s memorabilia.
It's yeah.
Like, you it's have a lot like of fun back there.
You have like a you have furniture back there
yeah,
too.
Much.
I feel like there's like a chair from like a thrift store mixed with like a Balenciaga bag.
Yeah, probably
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I am an excellent driver.
So. Oh, okay. Well, you walked in right in time. Welcome to Artists Arguing, babe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to see you post Coachella.
Oh yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I got sick the day before Coachella and then had to do Coachella sick the whole time.
Yeah.
But my friend introduced me to this very special nasal spray that's not cocaine.
What is it? Afrin?
It's just like some Afrin thing that doesn't have sufedrin in it because that makes me absolutely crazy.
Okay.
But it did give me a little kick in the ass.
Yeah.
So I was not congested and I was like kind of hyped.
Yeah.
So I was like ready to walk 10 miles every day and like dance my face off, you know? So.
Everyone else is on that MDMA and you're like, I'm on this nasal spray. I got some Afrin going. Oh, that's good. I didn't know you were sick when I saw you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God
for Afrin. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I lost my voice completely in the past.
Oh, yeah. You did have like a rasp. You kind of still do right now.
I do, yeah. And hey. I've been in sessions all week and singing my demos and stuff, and they sound so awesome with my rasp. And ooh. I'm like, fuck, why can't my voice sound like this all the time? Like,
time to cut.
So bummed.
That's why, like, I feel like people like Pink and all that, like, when she stopped smoking, her voice kind of changed.
Yeah.
Although I don't encourage smoking, but
I mean, I wish, if I weren't so vain
yeah.
and I didn't want to die of cancer,
yeah.
I would totally smoke.
But or look like an old lady at 40.
I mean, yeah, it really makes a difference.
Yeah, you look beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So do you.
Looking glowy. So, but did you have a good time at Coachella?
I did. I told myself, I tweeted this, I told myself I was going to be more of like a fan and less of like a fashionista.
That was my policy too.
But I didn't see as much as I wanted to. It's just like when you're rolling with a crew, which mm-hmm. even with a small crew,
mm-hmm.
you miss shit, you know, because mm-hmm. you're waiting for people to get ready and this person wants to see that and you have to blah, blah, blah. Like, the best time I ever had at Coachella was when I literally went by myself with no ticket and no place to stay and just figured it out.
When was that?
That was, like, 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was when the tickets were just, like, a piece of paper with a barcode you would scan.
Oh.
And so I, like, would pick it one off the ground after someone had left and just bring it in. They're like, oh, there's no re-entry. And then I pretended to cry because Paul McCartney was playing. And they were like, fine. And they let me in. You know, it was much easier to scam back in the day. And now it's like...
Dude, now they are a scam.
Oh, my God.
You used to be able to scam Coachella, and now they're a fucking
they're
scam.
They're scamming me so hard.
I mean, well, I didn't... I mean, you didn't buy your passes, I'm assuming,
either. Of course I did. Are you kidding me?
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Even when I was, like, signed to Epic and stuff, like, no one was comping me tickets. Like, that's not... No.
Really?
Yeah, no. Back in the day, like, back when, way back when,
yeah.
I would get... They'd give me, like, 6 passes, and I'd sell them for a shit ton of money and have an amazing weekend.
But
That was long ago.
Oh, okay. Well, right. Well, then I'd be even more angry if I didn't see anything... I always have someone associated playing, performing, or something that, mm-hmm. like, hooks me up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever once bought a Coachella pass.
Did you have artist guests, or did you have
That's the thing, VIP? Though. This was the first year I was only VIP,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, my God, I'm a peasant. I was like, artists, like, I've always either had artist passes or artist guest passes, and, VIP is just, like, it's not VIP.
No, not at all.
VIP is Gen Pop now. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's basically, like, and they treat you like, dude, okay, so, I mean, I get it, but, like, my first, I could just tell, like, Coachella wasn't going to go my way.
I mean, does it ever really go your way at Coachella, though?
I've had, like, okay, the way you're describing a couple years back, you had one that was awesome where you just, like, did your own thing and whatever. Ryan and I, shout out, Bill. We had one a couple years, 2013. Coachella 2013 was so fun. 2014 was pretty fun too. And then 2012, I've gone since 2012. 2012, hated it. It was freezing. It was that year that it was really cold.
Oh, yeah.
Hated that. Loved 2013. 2013 and 2014 were good. 2015, nah. 2016, nah. And this year, 2017, fucking kill me and I'm never going back. I mean, I say that every year though, and then it rolls around again and I'm like, time to get my Coachella looks ready. And it's just like, ugh. But I, right away, going through the metal detectors and the whole thing now and all the shit that they have, and I get it because they want to keep people safe, but right away they were, like, throwing away all my stuff. And I'm like, wait, why? Like, you can't have this makeup. You can't have this sunblock. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to die. It's, like, 1,000 degrees. Yeah. Like, what? Like, what's aerosol? And I'm just like, oh, that thing was, like, $40. Like, well, you can take it back to your car. I'm like, oh, can I? Yeah. Can I walk, like, 7 miles back to my car?
Yeah.
And then come back? Like, to no. So, you know, so it just kind of started off, like, I was a little bit in, like, sourpuss mood. But then I got over it quickly. But I do feel like it always, the idea of Coachella is a lot more fun than Coachella actually is.
It's just so... exhausting.
It's exhausting, yeah.
You know, thank God for Afrin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you were hyped up.
Afrin and Red Bull, I was just flying.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, like, I was drinking, but you sweat so much that you don't even get a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically just, like, taking in calories for no reason.
Mm.
And then...
You better drink lots of water. Stay hydrated.
Oh, yeah. I got dehydrated real quick. And then I was like, I need an acai bowl immediately.
I remember when I used to drink and go to Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, the first, like, four... I've been going since, like, the second Coachella. Like,
okay,
when it was still, like, a rave in the desert, you know? And so I was always getting fucked up. Mm-hmm. And the first year that I went sober, I was like, God, Coachella is, like, such a big deal. It's so hard. It's so impossible. The first year I went sober, I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I've been making this so much harder for myself.
Than
it needs
to be.
I was like, this field isn't as big as I remember it being. Like, this isn't as hard as I thought it was. Like, I've just been fucking wasted this whole time.
Yeah.
And it's much easier sober, I gotta say.
Yeah. Well, you know me. I'm a lightweight. I mean, when I say I was drinking, I probably had 2 drinks.
Yes.
Like,
you are lightweight.
The whole
thing. You definitely are lightweight.
And I don't do drugs. I just do hugs, guys. But it's a lyric in a song that will never come out probably. It was I realized how easy it was to get shrooms. Some reason, every person offered them to me. Like,
oh, my God.
Strangers, friends. Like, it was like the first. It was like, hi, you want some shrooms?
That's
I'm like,
fun.
No, I don't want any shrooms.
Have you done shrooms before?
Okay, I've kind of. The answer is kind of. Because I didn't do a lot, so I don't really think it did anything to me. And I was really young, and I put them in a Jack in the Box drive-thru taco. And I kind of did it out of peer pressure. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I was with my friend Cecily Jones. Shout out Cecily Jones. We recently reconnected on Facebook. I doubt you're listening, but shout out Cecily Jones. She was like the ultimate bad girl at school. Like she was crazy. She was like smoking weed in fifth grade. Like she was like another level. Yeah. Anyway, I did them with her, kind of, and nothing really happened.
Right.
Like I was like, I don't think anything's happening. Granted, I don't think I took enough for anything to happen.
Gotcha.
So the answer is kind of no, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well, I mean,
or don't.
Look, I'm a sober person now. I've been sober for 5 years.
Yeah, maybe don't.
But I spent like most of my life on drugs and stuff. Mm-hmm. But mushrooms, I gotta say, are so much fun and such a spiritual, fun experience. It can be super overwhelming, especially in like a huge crowd like that.
Yeah.
But I definitely had a lot of like shroomy Coachella years that were super fun.
Right. I don't personally like, I don't like being out of control. I think that's why I've never been into any of that stuff. I was actually saying this earlier. It came up before you got here in the studio. Bruce Fish and I were having a conversation about how I only had ever done, because yesterday was 420, and everyone was talking about, you know, getting high, whatever. And I'm like, I don't do that. The reason being, I get full-on panic attacks.
Oh, I'm terrible with weed.
It's like, I don't like that feeling.
I don't either.
It's like a self-induced. Like,
yeah, I start thinking about everything I'm not doing and why am I not where I want to be in my life and who am I?
I
and
spiral.
I should have, never should have said that in the ninth grade to that person, you know. There's like nothing I can do. You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, cheers to sobriety. I mean, I think that's way a much, much better way to live your life. All right, well, let's get into some music, guys. I am so in love with the song, and even more in love with the video.
Aww.
If that's, like, it's the most beautiful video. You shot this video on film, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's everything.
Yeah, it was really fun to do, and I did it with my boyfriend, Darren, who's an incredible director.
He really is.
And, like, some of
Shout
the shots of me, like, in slow motion with my hair flipping in the wind, it was, like, the test of the camera where he came over to my house to just shoot me, and it was before we started dating, and I was, like, so in love with him. And I'm just, like, looking in the camera, and every time I watch it, I can just see myself, like, blushing and, like, butterflies in my chest, like,
oh
looking into
gosh.
The camera.
Oh, my gosh. So it's a really special video.
Yeah, it's really special to me.
Yay, I love that song.
Thank you.
It's really, I mean, your voice is incredible.
Thank you.
And you have a little rasp in that vocal,
yeah,
too, from
a
time
bit.
To time.
Yeah, I was really pushing myself there.
Yeah. Speaking of amazing voices, I was so bummed that I missed Lauryn Hill coming out with DJ Snake.
Oh, yeah.
At Coachella. Did you hear about that?
I missed that, too. Yeah, I heard about it.
I was like, what was I doing then? I was probably just having some frivolous conversation with someone, like, photographing my fucking outfit, and I missed Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh.
Yeah, I didn't see it. What did she sing? Yeah.
She came out and she did like a bunch of like Fuji records. Like she did,
Fuck.
Or no, I think she did stuff from The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Wow,
I heard she did like four tracks or something.
That's surprising.
I know,
she's like such a recluse, you know.
I know. I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah,
I did though. I did. So after day one of like hell, I was like, I'm not operating this way anymore, and I'm going to do my own thing. And Ryan and I actually did do our own thing. We saw a lot of. We finally got to see a lot. Like. On Saturday. So I checked out this really cool Irish artist named Royson Murphy. Have you heard of her?
Mm-mm, no.
She's really cool. She basically looked like if Sia and Gaga circa 2007 had an adult baby.
Okay.
she had this really like eccentric vibe about her, and she kept changing wigs and hats and pulling out. It was almost like a puppeteer meets like, and she, I don't know, she played these like really like beautiful like ethereal kind of disco like songs, and she would play the bell, and she had like a full band. And
ooh.
You would have totally dug her.
I love a show.
It was a show. It was totally a show.
Love a show.
Yeah. She put on a show. She was great. So you got a new puppy.
I got a new puppy.
Tell me about the puppy.
Well, her name is Cobra.
Yeah, which is so weird, can I just tell you?
I
don't get the name.
Originally, my boyfriend and I, he wanted to get a tiny little teacup pom,
uh-huh.
and he wanted to name it Carl.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted a girl because uh-huh. I don't want a boy dog because I'm afraid it's going to pee over everything.
Right.
So I was like, we got to get a girl. And he was like, fine, but she's still going to be named Carl. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. And then we were watching the classic film Cobra from mm-hmm. the 80s with
I don't know this film.
It's fucking so amazing. What's his name? It's Rocky. Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
And it's just like a badass like crime. It's just beautiful. But we were watching and I was like, Cobra. Cobra Carl.
Cobra Carl
Craig is her full name. But then we decided to change it to Carol. So it's Cobra Carol. It's been a complicated naming process.
Oh, so you lost the Carl.
We lost the Carl.
I kind of like Cobra Carl.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
But what's on her dog tag?
Just Cobra.
Okay.
That's all you need is Cobra.
Cute.
But on Instagram, you can follow
Cobra's
her.
Cobra's kind of a cool kid name.
Right?
Like if you named your kid kind Cobra.
Of, and like I know that it seems masculine, but it ends in an A. So it, when you think about just the word
you're
Cobra,
right.
It's like a beautiful word.
You're right. You're selling me on this. I take it all back.
So if you go on Instagram, you can follow her at Cobra the Destroyer.
Okay. Everybody follow Cobra the Destroyer.
She's 1 pound.
That's insanity.
She's like the size of a Coke can.
But how big is she going to get?
3 pounds.
Oh, my God.
I'm really excited.
She's like a hamster.
She literally is a hamster. She's like the size of a guinea pig. And, like, we can't let her upstairs because she'll fall off. And, like, we just have to watch her every minute. She's very fragile.
Baby.
We had to put a little bell on her because we would lose her in the house.
So, like, where's Cobra? And she's just like,
yeah, because otherwise she's like a little puff of smoke and you just can't hear her or find her.
But and your house is massive and beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
And like full of like dream furniture.
Oh, thank you.
You have like such an eclectic style.
I'm really just a hoarder.
You're like part, I was going to say, you're part hoarder, but part like El Decor.
Oh, thank you.
You're like hoarder meets El Decor.
Thanks so much. Thanks.
And I know you know that's a compliment.
All right. Prefer a collector. But.
Yeah, collector. We're going to get into some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So just answer them as soon as the thought enters your brain and feel free to elaborate if you want to, but we just kind of breeze through these on Artists Arguing.
Cool.
All right. What's on your feet right now?
Giuseppe Zanotti.
What brings you the greatest satisfaction?
Making music videos.
What's on your bookshelf?
Lena Dunham's Not That Kind of Girl.
What makes you laugh?
Cat, I don't know, cat videos.
What can you not miss on TV?
What am I watching? From Not to Hot, Honey Boo Boo, Mama June.
Oh my God, for real?
I'm obsessed with it.
You're disgusting. What makes you mad?
What makes me mad? Sexism.
What song instantly puts you in a good mood?
Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk.
Do you have a secret party trick?
Yes, I can do a headstand twerk.
Oh, yeah, you can. I've seen that. What's one thing you wish you knew when you were younger?
Don't do drugs.
Okay, great. Of the 7 deadly sins, which of the following are you guilty of? Lust, gluttony, greed, wrath, envy, pride, or sloth?
Lust.
Thank you for playing Rapid Fire Questions at Artists Arguing.
Thank you.
Cool. Let's get into some fan questions. First question comes from Yurosh Dems. Can you two, as songwriters, discuss the writing process? What do you like to come first, lyrics or music? Hashtag artists arguing.
Well, I have gone back and forth over the years with my process, but I find that the whole writing process goes a lot faster if I start with a title.
Mm-hmm.
If I have, like, a thesis, then it's really easy to build a story around it.
Right.
But if I, like, write an amazing melody and then I try to fill in the blanks, sometimes you never arrive at, like, what it's about.
Yeah.
You know? It feels forced sometimes.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I mean, I feel like you know because we've written together several times. Same. I like a concept.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be melody first, and then I would just find the syllables and I can fill it in.
Yeah.
But I realized that and sometimes that takes you on a cool journey to a lyric that you wouldn't have thought of.
Totally. Yes.
But I prefer, I'm with you on like a concept, a title, an idea, a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you. Okay. Our next question comes from Beaton's Little Pony.
Oh, what's up?
Bonnie, are there plans for a full album still in the works, please?
I mean, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm in a transitional phase. I'm doing some other things. I'm doing different kinds of writing.
Do you want to talk about that?
Some of it I can, some of it I can't. I'm working on a musical right now. And I'm writing some scripts and things, which has been really refreshing and fun for me. I do want to put out more music. I just want to do it right. And I've been spending my own money being independent. And y'all, it's expensive being an indie artist.
Yeah.
So like until I can find the right kind of support for my project, I just want to make sure it gets the right shine that it deserves, you know?
Definitely. That brings us to our next question, which is from Hurricane. He says, Bonnie and Eden, after being signed to major labels and now being independent, which do you prefer? What's the best way to get your music out there?
It's tough to say because being independent has been nice because I get to control the timeline.
100%.
And I get to control the content and no one can tell me what's what. Like, yeah. It's just completely my artistic vision and no one's in my way. But it is very expensive, and also you don't get the same kind of push. Like, you know, when I look at the American Girl and what I put out on Epic, it has like 35 million views or something, and mm-hmm. then I look at my independent releases and they have like 3 million, which is still amazing as an independent artist.
100%.
But the difference is huge, you know, and like you can't afford radio being independent, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah, and it's a machine, isn't it? It's I'm with you. It's kind of like it's both. Like there's pluses and minuses to both. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you that like sometimes in the past being on a label, I have felt like a little bit of a prisoner mm-hmm. where I'm just sort of waiting and being like, okay, when is this coming out? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's 3 months later. Hey, guys, when's this coming out? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's coming out this day. Great, I'm going to tell all my fans. Okay, everybody, this is coming out this year. Cut to a month later. We don't feel like putting your music out. And you lose your mind.
Like absolutely.
You're just kind of like, fuck, these are like my babies. And I've worked so hard on them. And now they're just sitting in my fucking computer. And nobody gets to hear them. And it's tragic.
Yeah, it really is.
But I agree with you that being independent, like, you know, yeah, I spent all my own money making the El Barrio video recently. And even the lyric video for Gold. And, you know, it is expensive. Like, I don't... Because we care so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like...
I mean, the thing about making music videos is it's my favorite thing to do
too.
In the whole world.
Me
but too. There's zero return. It's really a passion project. You put out a video, you're not making money on that at all. And I will spend all of my money on videos just because I love it and I want it to live in the world and I want to give it to my fans. That's it.
It's an art form.
Yeah.
I mean, we both, like, I totally feel you on that. Like, I love being creative. I know you love being creative and coming up with concepts and visuals and costumes and makeup and hair and, you know... The whole process. That's why I think it's really cool that you're writing a musical and writing scripts now. And I have no doubt in my mind that those will be turned into full-fledged visual projects.
I'm really excited. Yeah, somebody asked me recently, like, when are you happiest? And I was like, when I'm making music videos. And I was like, how do I make that my full-time job?
Totally.
And then I was like, well, I just write one long one with many different songs, which is just a musical, essentially. You know,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I want to audition for your musical.
Okay, girl.
Okay. This one comes from Emily! And her handle's at Shades of Virgo. She says, will a Beat and collab be released anytime this year? # artists arguing.
I was actually just singing the song we wrote the other day.
Which one? The Kygo one?
The kids, crazy kids.
Oh.
I had that one stuck in my head and I was like, fuck, that's a really good one.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of putting that out next.
I love that one.
Should I?
I think so.
Should that be my next single?
I love that one.
Oh, my God. You guys heard it here first. I was texting with Jordan about that.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a great one.
Feels like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just gave you the title, too. All right. Now I have to. Cool. Well, there you go, guys. Okay. This one's from Alma in Pomona. Bonnie, what's your favorite beauty product? You always wear fun lipstick colors.
Oh, I wear the same MAC lipstick, like, every day. And it's called Lady Danger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with that. I also love Candy Yum Yum.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love MAC lipsticks. I love a matte lipstick because it doesn't budge. And sometimes shiny. I mean, it's like different eras for different kinds of lip looks, you know. But I love a matte lip.
If you could, because this is my own question now, spawning off of Alma's question. If you had to go back to like, or not had to, but like if you were to revisit a beauty trend or a makeup trend of like past eras, what would it be?
I mean,
where it became like the standard and it was like the new thing.
Right.
I have an answer, but I'm waiting to see what yours is.
I mean, my favorite shit is like the crazy 60s eye.
Okay.
Like where you draw the line in the crease. And
oh,
it looks,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like very twiggy.
Can you do that to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a day look, put it like that, you know? But I love it so much. Like, it photographs so well. It makes your eyes look huge and, like, Bambi eyes, you know?
Do you look back and have these, like, photos of yourself where you're like, what the fuck was
I
wearing?
Oh, my God.
What was I doing with my makeup?
Like, in the MySpace days, like, I wore so much fucking makeup. And I'm talking, like, peacock blue eyeshadow, like, heavy, with, like, a black cat eye and fake lashes and, like, a bright red lip. Like, it was just... But at the time, it was very, like, emo.
Yeah.
And, like, I would tease my hair and not wash it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that was the look, you know? It was very, like, Warped Tour-y looking.
Skunk hair.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Warped Tour?
No, I didn't, actually, surprisingly.
I would have thought you would have, like, been living at Warped Tour.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I was busy living my own tragedy, you know.
Hey, what's up? It's Eden and Bonnie on Artists Arguing. Who are we talking to?
My name's Evan.
Hi, Evan.
Hey, I mean, I've
My main question right now, probably, I'm newish to Los Angeles, and I'm a singer and lyricist, and I'm wondering, like, what advice would you give, like, how to get connected and how to meet people and where to go and how to get started and all this?
I mean, I think the best thing you can do is collaborate with other people. So find maybe, like, you know, stalk people on social media, find out what shows they're going to, when they're playing, et cetera, and kind of find people that are in your wheelhouse and go out to shows and, you know, just meet people, try to connect and see if you can. And also even just reaching out on social media, you can send someone a sample of your work, and people are always looking for new talent, you know. So if you got what it takes and you send it out there, then someone's going to bite, you know.
Definitely. And yeah, also, Evan, this is Eden. I wanted to let you know that there is another guest on Artists Arguing that we had kind of at the beginning of our show. Her name is Anjali, and she's a really great writer, and she's presently taking submissions from people like yourself online who are looking for to collaborate with people like Bonnie suggested. So she has this thing called Song Day Sunday. You should check it out, because if you have some cool music or lyrics or whatever, you can submit them to her, and she's super legit. We love her.
That's great.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You're welcome.
I guess we're done.
Yes. Hey, welcome to Artists Arguing. It's Eden and Bonnie. Who are we talking to?
I'm MJ. Hi.
Hi.
So amazing to talk to you guys. I'm at Love Into the Light on Twitter, and I've been following you guys for years.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for the support. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that El Barrio is my jam.
Oh, yeah. Love that song.
That song is, yeah, it's great. And Bonnie, your EP has been on repeat since the day it dropped.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
So much love for you guys.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you. We love you. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling.
Let's go back a little bit now. And, like, I think your story is really fascinating because, like, I mean, I've known you for so long.
Very long time.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And just seeing your star, like, rise and explode has been really inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, like, when we met at that, like, junky old studio.
Oh, boy.
And those were hard times. Like,
definitely.
You, for lack of a better word, you were broke.
Oh, yeah.
And you were, like eating, like, packs of lunch meat from Rite Aid.
Yep.
And, like, I remember being, like, this girl's really talented, but, like, I don't know what's going on with her.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, like, I was a mess. There was a studio that we used to work at that was on Highland behind Carl's Jr. But,
yeah, you're right.
And, like, we were all broke as fuck, and
yeah,
none of us would even eat there because it was so gnarly
it
and,
was
like,
gross.
Cockroach-ridden.
And now it's Chick-fil-A.
Now it's Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not allowed to go there because they don't support LGBT.
Yeah. So. Sorry, Chick-fil-A.
Even though it's the most delicious thing in my life. But that's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. But so we would work at the studio, and it was, like, rat-infested, haunted, smoking inside.
I didn't know it was haunted.
Disgusting. Oh, yeah. There was, like, a vodka bottle, like, flew across the room one night. We were like, cool. I got scabies there. I slept on a couch and got scabies from the couch.
I believe it. Those couches were fucking gross.
I think they were, like, shooting porn there the live room for a while.
They were. That's how they paid the rent, I feel like, for a while.
Yeah.
They allowed people to come in and shoot pornos in there.
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty gnarly.
That bathroom,
like, people smoked so much inside that the computers broke because they were full of ash. Like,
gross.
It's just disgusting. Lots of day drinking, lots of pills, lots of cocaine, lots of just, like, debauchery.
Yeah, it was a scene.
Yeah, it was right gross. After I had gotten dropped from Warner Brothers, so I was, like, spiraling hard,
yeah,
and that was when I met you.
Yeah.
And I was working with my ex-boyfriend, Oliver, very talented producer,
mm-hmm,
who, and I kind of, like, learned how to use Pro Tools, I learned a lot at that studio.
Yeah.
And I learned about co-writing and collaborating, which is something I had never really done.
So you, with Trouble, your first album, mm-hmm, you wrote pretty much all of that on your own, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, in retrospect, I'm proud of it, but I really could have used help. When I listen to it now, I just cringe because it's just so all over the place.
Oh, I think for the time and you know, if you just listen to the songs, just the songs, I think they're really amazing songs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wrote them when I was like 14, 15 years old.
That's what a 14, 15-year-old talks about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, my first song I ever wrote was called So Long, Romeo. And it was like so
great.
Cheesy.
I love it.
I mean, that's what a 14-year-old talks about.
The first, like, proper song I wrote was called Kitten.
Oh, that's a nice title.
And it was basically, I will be your kitten if you will come around. I will be a schoolgirl if you won't let me down. It was all
you were always such a little slut.
I really was. It was all basically like just role play shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then like I made my
which
dad.
Which you still love today.
Yes. And I made my dad play the demo with me. Uh-huh. And I can only imagine like him with his 14-year-old daughter being like, really? Okay. You know, I want to support the arts. So
oh
I'm
going to
oh, my
God. That's funny because my dad, who's like kind of not really fully ever taken an interest in what I do, recently was like, send me a CD of what you're making. And I was like, okay. So I was like, you know, I'm going to send him a CD. He's never asked for, you know, any of it. So I sent him a CD and I was like, I'm going to put Drips Gold on here because I sing in Farsi a little bit and my dad's Persian and he'll appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But then I mailed it off and I was talking to Ryan and I was like, oh, I just mailed my dad a CD. And he's like, what'd you put on there? And I told him, and he's like, you put my Punani Drips Gold on there? And I go, yeah. And he's like, your dad's going to listen to you talking about your vagina dripping gold. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's a little weird.
Do you think dads know what Punani means?
I don't think – I think they're smarter than we think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just saying, like, even now as, like, a full-fledged adult, I'm, like, uncomfortable. Like, I'm so not uncomfortable with my sexuality and, like, being – like, I feel like, yeah, like, I've always kind of been, like – some of the lyrics I've written in the past have been, like, very over or whatever, or just like provocative just to be provocative. Mm-hmm. and it's never bothered me in terms of like friends or fans or industry or whatever, but it is fucking weird when your dad hears you saying like, I'll be your kitten.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking, it's weird.
Yeah, it was definitely weird.
It's even weirder that he played raising. The demo with you.
I mean, he just was trying to support the arts.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So he was a musician.
Yeah, he's okay. Very talented.
Okay.
He's in a band called The Happy Campers in Seattle, and they play nursing homes and coffee shops.
Love
and
it.
They play a lot of gypsy jazz.
Great.
So, yeah, pretty cool stuff.
So then after your album on Warner Brothers, and you told me a really – I mean, I don't know if you've told this story before, but I love the story of you, like – defacing Tom Wally's like property.
Boy. I was gonna say, yeah, when you were talking about feeling like you're a prisoner at a major record label, I was at Warner Brothers for 6 years and mm-hmm. put out one album, and I spent years and years writing and sending things in and no one responding, and I went from being Tom Wally, who was the CEO at Warner Brothers at the time, being his first signing and his darling, to him not picking up my phone calls.
That's the worst feeling. I've been there, by the way.
Yeah, and that was like my first real like taste of, you know, Hollywood getting chewed up and spit out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lost it, and I went down to Hollywood Boulevard and I bought a knife, a dagger, really, that had like a tiger on the handle with a jewel for an eye. And
cool. Sounds beautiful.
I burned a CD of what I thought were my strongest songs, and I went to Tom Wally's house in the middle of the night and I stabbed that CD into a tree right in front of his front door. So when he walked out in the morning.
Through the hole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So badass.
And then I wrote on his car in lipstick, Platinum Baby.
Oh, God.
But then the next day was his children's first day of school. And so everyone was, like, hysterical, thinking that a maniac came in the night. And they're right. A maniac did come in the night. And I got what I wanted. I got dropped. You know, I think he was like, okay, I'm fucking with a crazy bitch now. And
did you get dropped immediately after that stunt?
Just about.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then did you regret it? Were you like, why did I do that?
I mean, at the time.
Or were you like, fuck yeah, I'm free?
I was devastated. I mean, I knew that I needed to leave, but it was just like such a hard breakup because it's like, I got this big record deal when I was 16 and I was like, oh, all of my problems are over and my life is going to be great from now on.
Yeah.
And that was only the beginning, you know?
Totally.
And a lot of artists I see struggling, like newer artists with their first record deal, they're like, oh my God, they get dropped and they think their life is over. That's just a rite of passage.
Totally.
Like, I didn't realize that it's way worse to be at a record label that doesn't want you than it is to just be free doing your own shit.
Absolutely.
So it was really hard on me. Yeah. But like once I was like, oh, wait, I have control now.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Fast forward to like your songwriting career taking off. Do you like what was the moment there that you can go back and go like, oh, that's when it like all changed?
Well, Dr. Luke came a sniffing around, and because he knew about me through Katie, because Katie and I were friends, and I remember I the first song I wrote with her was Part of Me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah,
which
was like the last single.
Way later, right? Interesting.
and that was kind of like my test drive mm-hmm. with her. Mm-hmm. And she was like, all right, cool, like you can come on the project. So they invited me up to Santa Barbara to work on the rest of the album. And I was completely broke. Like my cell phone got turned off, my hot water got turned off. I didn't have a car, I was borrowing my boyfriend's car. And I drove up there, and they were staying at like the Four Seasons in Santa Barbara, and it was super fancy. And I remember going in and
where did you sleep?
They got me in my own room.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And I went in, and there was like a giant bathtub and like fancy soaps. And I like got in the bathtub and just started like crying hysterically, like tears of joy, where I was just like, I'm going to be okay. Like, this is, I'm going to be okay. Like, just a hot bath was enough for me to be like,
oh my God. That's like,
that was like a moment for me. But yeah, there was like, there was a big, like, cosmic sigh of relief for me when California Girls blew up, where I was like, okay, I've done something now. I can say that I, like, had a song on the radio and that I, like, did something in pop culture history, you know?
Yeah.
And then it ended up being way more than I ever imagined it would be.
Yeah. Do you love writing in the studio or performing more?
They have their own thing. I mean, I am an artist at heart. That's really where my heart is at. Mm-hmm. So I love performing. I love touring. I love making videos. I think I prefer that.
Yeah.
But there's also a magic that happens in the studio, mm-hmm. you know. But I think, being an artist, I love connecting with the fans directly. Because being a songwriter, you can write things, and even if you write a hit song,
it might not come out.
Well,
if it actually is a hit.
Yeah, it's a hit, it comes out, and like you see a reaction online, whatever. But you don't get that like immediate energy from the fans that you get when you're on stage. Like there's a connection with an audience that happens when you're the one the sound is coming out of your body and directly into their ears.
Totally,
it doesn't happen when you're writing it for somebody else.
Totally. Okay, I'm gonna jump back in time now. I want to ask you about something that I don't think you've talked about a lot, which is that movie you shot.
Oh God.
What's it called? Sorry.
It's called August Rush.
August Rush. Yes. I saw it in theaters. Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I've seen it since the premiere.
Seriously?
It like comes on TV sometimes and like.
Oh, I wanted to know if you had like. Wait, who was starring in that again?
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell, yeah.
Robin Williams.
Oh, Robin Williams.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Do you have any juicy on-set stories about August Rush?
I was just an asshole.
What?
I was like, it was my first movie. It was my first, like, I was just so green and I didn't know the etiquette and stuff. So, like, the first scene I ever shot was with Carrie Russell, and it's, like, 3 feet of snow in upstate New York, and I'm driving a car, and I have to back it down an icy driveway that's, like, a curved long driveway with two giant cameramen in the back seat and Carrie Russell crying next to me. This is the first scene I ever shot. And we never did rehearsals. We never did table reads. This is just completely cold. And I was like, okay. So I get in, I'm like, she's crying. And I'm like, this is so surreal. Like, I can't believe I'm sitting here with Felicity and she's like crying in front of me. And I'm like, you know, and then I'm having to drive this car. And then like, so we get down, then we drive off, and then the scene ends and Carrie's like still in her thing. They're like, okay, cut, go again. But I'm so excited. I'm like, let's go to Mexico. Let's like keep driving. I'm like making all these jokes and whatever. And she's trying to like stay in the moment and cry. And I'm just like so excited and so pumped up. And I was just so annoying. And I knew that Carrie Russell just fucking hated me.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of
she probably hated you.
Oh my God. I'm sure she hated me. And she like snapped at me a couple times. I mean, she was sweet. She was fine. But I just knew she was just like, oh, this bitch, you know.
Well, you don't know yet, you know.
I was just like a puppy, you know. I was just like an excited little pup.
I got fired off One Life to Live because very similar vibe. I didn't understand on-set etiquette. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this was like a fucking soap opera. But it was like, I just had all these suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like,
well, what if I did this instead?
Totally.
Or, like, I wouldn't wear this. My character wouldn't wear this kind of makeup. Like, I really think that it should be. I would literally, like, leave the makeup thing and, like, go in the bathroom and put on my own makeup and be like, bitch, I'm not trying to, like, look like. But I was supposed to be, like, the best friend, not the, like, glamour puss.
Right. And you don't realize, like, when you're in those things, like, there's a method to the way they do all the shit they do.
Yeah.
And, like, we're coming in as, like, artists and we're being like, no, wait. I'm a star. Let me tell you.
You're doing this wrong. Let me tell you how to do your job.
Yeah. It was pretty harsh. They canned me, and it was sad.
I was sorry.
Devastated. I was like,
Well, yeah. See, that's the thing. I'm back in acting classes now, mm-hmm. just because it's fun for me.
Me too. It's so fun.
It's really such a great outlet.
It really is.
I'm like thinking about, you know, because a lot of times I'll do scenes where I'm like, God, this is just not how I would react, and I would never say it like this, and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I just need to write my own shit.
Yeah.
And cast myself in it.
Honestly, you do. And then it kind of like, when you see, like, when you watch, like, Girls, I'm like, oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because this is coming from.
Did you watch the end of it?
I'm on the last season right now, first episode. I'm mm-hmm. very behind. I know. I don't know what happens. Don't tell me.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm a huge Lena Dunham fan.
I mean, and she's my hero.
She's bombastic in Girls, right?
Yes.
That's so cool.
I was like, that was a big deal
that's
for me.
Like, that's like, check.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's going to be like Sex and the City down the road, yeah. where you're going to be like, oh, I had a song Sex and the City, I had a song Girls. It's like, mm-hmm. that's dope.
Yeah, that was a big moment for
that's
me.
That's really cool. So yeah, write your own shit and cast me too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fun part. And then that's the other thing is that I'm like, okay, well, I have all these songs that I love that aren't necessarily like for radio.
Yeah.
But I think they deserve
a life. That's cool.
But they also like don't necessarily go together. So it's not like mm-hmm. an album's worth of material. It's like,
right.
it's a story arc.
That's a great idea.
I'm just gonna.
That's a fucking great idea.
Do my own thing.
Bonnie, it's been a delight having you on.
Thank you.
I want to have you back.
Yes.
I feel like we barely scratched the surface.
Well, thank you so much for having
me. We didn't even tell the story about how we got into a physical fight.
Yeah, the first time we met, we got into a fight. We actually fought one another. And then we hated each other for a long time. And then Eden hit me up on MySpace and was like, I really like your song. And I was like.
Oh. Which, by the way, was Stars in Your Heart.
Yeah, Stars in Your Heart.
So I hit you up in MySpace. In 2009, because mm-hmm. I was, again, living in London, I'm all by myself, lurking the internet, mm-hmm. and listening to Empire of the Sun, and I was like, God, I love this song, and it's so cool because you just put out Stars in Your Heart.
That was one that was...
It never went away.
Never went away.
Stood the test of time.
Yeah.
And your Barbarella-inspired video is like, at the top of the show when I said I have a lesbian crush on Bonnie, that video might have done it for me.
Oh, thank you so much.
When you're like full on Nikki, are you full Nikki?
I'm full Nikki. I had a vagina sticker.
I was going to say, was your punani out for everybody? Or was it like...
It's like a weird like sticky thong that has no sides where it's just literally a sticker you put on your vagina that's like flesh toned.
Is that what they use in the movies?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Because you just look like fucking Eve from space. Thank like you. Garden of Eden space, babe.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look glorious. Okay, well, speaking of vaginas, we're gonna let you guys go with my brand new song, Drip Skull.
Two of my favorite girls, Eden, of course, and Raja, who's an incredible artist. And I did a song together called Drip Skull, and here goes.